Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Khususan ala sayyidi ar-rusuli wa khatam al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya. Amma ba'd. During the 23 years of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's teaching of Islam and serving as a prophet, there were many obstacles the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced. And likewise, each of us on our path of growth, whether it's as individuals or as communities, there are various obstacles we will face. Sometimes the challenge will come, the hatred and animosity will come from people who we expect it from. Someone who clearly identifies as an enemy or someone who stands in opposition. But at times, the resistance will come from people who you expect it least from. And those are the ones that hurt the most. Because their words don't only land on your ears and their punches don't only land on your skin. What they have to say lands right on your heart, and it stays. If someone on the road were to say something foul to you, you can brush it off and move on. But if that very same foul statement was said by someone who matters to you, it hurts so much more. And that's why we need to be careful of what we say as well. We may not realize, but our words may be the barrier that prevents other people from their growth. A lot of bullying happens, a lot of hurt comes from people that are closest to us. People that we allow into our life, people that we allow into our private personal circles. Husband and wife, child, parent, siblings, friends. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as per the riwayah of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, for the first 3 years of his prophethood, he taught Islam privately. They would pray their salah out of the city of Makkah Mukarramah so the leaders of Makkah wouldn't see them secretly practicing Islam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah of the Quran, وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. And then he revealed the ayah of the Quran, فَاصْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرُ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Now it was time for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go public, to invite everyone. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam climbed the mountain and said to the people, gather around, gather around. Wasabaha. It was a call of warning. The people gathered around because the Meccans lived within mountains. So if someone saw something dangerous on the other side of the mountain, they would climb a mountain and make a call like this to gather people together. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered everyone together and said to them, that if I were to tell you on the other side of this mountain, there is an army that may attack you in the morning or evening, meaning it's very close. أَكُنْتُمْ مُصَدِّقِيَّ أَكُنْتُمْ تُصَدِّقُونِي. Would you accept from me? They said, of course we would. In one narration, they said, you are As-Sadiq, the truthful one, Al-Amin, the trustworthy one. They acknowledged who the Prophet ﷺ was. 40 years of the life of Nabi ﷺ gave them an opportunity to interact with the human Muhammad ﷺ. The phenomenal, amazing human being he was. Clean record. Not once did he ever hurt anyone from his young age. Never did he foul anyone. Never did he say something rude to another person. Even as a young man, he was known as As-Sadiq and Al-Amin. Here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then says to them, well, I come to warn you of the Day of Judgment. And the analogy is beautiful because just as you can't see what's on the other side of the mountain, the average human being has no idea what lies on the other side of the grave. What lies on the other side of the grave, we don't know. It takes a person from a higher position who interacts with revelation to be able to tell you what's beyond this dunya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came with this warning. And we are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the Prophet of Allah came with this warning. If this warning didn't come, if this revelation didn't reach us, we would be like the rest of humanity, living until the grave, with no reflection or thought about what happens the moment after. In all of this chaos, you know, the Quraysh were talking and what's going on here, what's he doing? The first person to openly rebuke Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was his very own uncle, Abu Lahab. Imagine the excitement of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before he climbed that mountain, knowing his record with the people. Maybe he was thinking that I'll climb the mountain, I'll invite them, they trust me, they'll accept it from me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes this announcement, must have been so nervous, what are they going to say? And the first person to speak against him was his very own blood uncle. And they say in the absence of the father, the uncle is like the father. His name was Abu Lahab. That's what he was known by. His actual name was Abdul Uzza bin Abdul Muttalib. He spoke against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he made this gesture with his hands as if everything Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said was absolutely useless, meaningless. And then he said, Tabban lak, alihada jama'atana? In one narration, Tabban laka sa'ir al-yawm, alihada jama'atana? May you be cursed, may you be destroyed, may you lose out for the rest of your day. Is this why you gathered us together for this fairy tale? And all that hope that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had came crumbling down. The pain that this man caused Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the pain that his sons caused Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the pain that his wife caused Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His wife's name was Arwa, otherwise known as Jamil. Arwa was a sister of Abu Sufyan, another leader of Quraysh, Abu Sufyan bin Harb. On one side, the wife is a staunch enemy of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the Quran, in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses her towards the end. وَمْرَأَتُهُ حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبِ. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would walk in the street, she would go and throw twigs and thorns in the path to hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, physically trying to harm him. According to one tafsir, she would walk around Makkah Mukarramah spreading lies about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tarnishing his image. And Abu Lahab was no less. For the rest of his life, he walked around saying foul things. There's one narration that once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving da'wah to people. And there was a person standing not too far away. He was throwing something at the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and saying, the man is mad. This man is crazy. Don't trust him. Someone asked, who is this person? They said, this is the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Lahab, who has made it his responsibility, who has taken it upon himself to hate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba went into the Shi'ab Abi Talib during the 3-year financial boycott, the Meccans said, we won't trade with the Muslims. It was a very difficult time. The family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even those that were not Muslim, out of pride of their tribe and their family, they stood by the side of the Prophet of Allah. They said, we will go into the boycott with you. Even though we don't believe in your faith, we will stand by your side. Murua, respect. Abu Lahab said, I won't join you. Out of the entire tribe, he walked away. He said, I will stand with the people who boycott you. This family caused his sons were, according to a narration, engaged to the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proclaimed his Islam, he instructed his sons to separate from the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, if someone's daughter was to break out of a relationship because of something they'd done, imagine how heavy that would be on them. There is an anecdote that one day steel and gold were speaking to one another. And gold complained to steel. Gold complained to steel and said, "Why do you make so much noise when the hammer hits you? Do you not see how quiet I am? If you take a hammer and hit gold, it makes much less noise in comparison to taking that very same hammer and hitting steel." So steel said, "When your own hit you, it hurts more." Right? Because the hammer is made of steel too. When your own hits you, it hurts a lot more. This was from the test of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That the journey for Islam to reach where it is today, for us as Muslims sitting here in this masjid in Carrollton right now, it wasn't an easy journey. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must have had many sleepless nights, many nights of tears, a lot of heartache, a lot of pain. So know that where you are today is not a coincidence. This is a result of great sacrifice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a very honorable person. He wouldn't say anything to his uncle. If Ibrahim alayhi salam didn't say anything to his father after his father threatened to stone him, and Musa alayhi salam's son, Nuh alayhi salam's son, was a kafir, and even then Nuh alayhi salam was showing compassion to him, when it came to Abu Lahab, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say much in that moment. But the love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had for his messenger was such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refused to remain silent. And an entire surah of the Quran is revealed. And that's the surah that tells us a story of how this uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam betrayed him. And not only betrayed him, but chose to be his enemy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Tabbat yada Abi Lahabin wa tab." That may the hands of Abu Lahab be wasted. May they lose out. مَا أَغْنَ عَنْهُ مَالُهُ. His wealth came of no help to him. وَمَا كَسَبْ. Neither what he gained or what he earned. سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبْ. He will enter into a fire with flames. ذَاتَ لَهَبْ. You talk to our Prophet like this? Is this how you treat the Messenger of Allah? The most honorable human being to walk on the face of this earth? Whose every tear is more valuable than the blood of all of humanity? This is how you speak to him? سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبْ. Wait, you'll see. You know, they say, Allah ka yaan der hai andher nahi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes may let you off. He may let you go with your transgressions. But don't think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't see it. سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبْ. And وَمْرَأَتُهُ. As for his wife, حَمَّالَةَ الْحَطَبُ. The one that used to carry the wood around, you know, she would carry wood and throw it at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah addresses her in the last ayah, فِي جِيدِهَا حَبْلٌ مِّن مَّسَدٍ. On the day of judgment, she will also have a rope around her neck made of palm fiber. Masad can have many meanings. Masad refers to anything that's woven together in an untidy fashion. It can also refer to hadith. That's why some scholars, when translating Masad, they say she will have shackles and chains around her neck for her transgression against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the lesson from today's surah that I'd like to deliver to you is, as you continue along your journey of growth, sometimes the people closest to you will be your barrier. Be patient with them. Continue to be kind to them. Continue to work with them. And understand not everyone will appreciate what you're going through and what you want. There will be someone in your family at some point in your life who will mock you for growing out a beard because you want to follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Someone will come and make fun of you because you choose not to deal in interest-bearing transactions and say, you backward monkey. Someone will say something to you about reading Quran all day and not, you know, looking at the market every 2 minutes. Someone's going to be out there. Just understand that when they're looking at things, they're looking at it from their perspective. If they were able to see things from your perspective, from this perspective of revelation, maybe it would have been better for them to hold their tongues back. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to be patient, strong, forbearant, and may He keep us on the straight path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the outcome of Abu Lahab and his family. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.